This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network.
Boo!
Check out more great shows at Pride48.com.
You know, I can just mute you.
Yeah, okay.
Or not. But it is an option.
It is an option. It is always an option to mute me, Mr. Burns. So I had a fun experience last week.
Okay. What was that?
As you may recall, the 30th of September was Tuesday. Not this past
I believe
week.
You.
It was on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the day we flew.
Okay. And you also know what that means. September 30th is a very specific date in the corporate world.
No.
That is the end of the fourth quarter. Usually,
it's not
our quarters start
in February.
Okay, well, our first quarter starts in October, and so this was the Monday. I'm doing my stuff. I'm coding and going away and doing things, and then Tuesday. I had a meeting with the Tuesday morning meeting with the AI Skunkworks team, and we're talking all the fun little projects we're working on and everything. And midway through that meeting, I get a call on Teams, that comes up and it interrupts my little thing from the head of our department. Like, hey, the head of the department is calling you.
We're gonna need you to.
So I'm like, oh shit. Hold on. I guess I should take this. And so I excused myself from that meeting and I took the call and he was like, Daniel Brewer. And I was like, head of the department.
Department, sir.
And he's like, how are you this morning? And I'm like, he's like, I'm doing all right. What's up? And
it's probably Rodan. Rodan is the head of some department.
Where I work, we have the technology division, right? So like it's called product and technology organization. So, I work for the PMO for the PTO. So I work for the management piece of that dev department. So the things that the department that I work in,
the project management, program management, or product management,
all of it. In other words, my department had all the project managers and the all the other managers.
But what does the P stand for?
Product. Well, it stands for product. In our case, okay. Product. But then we're a software company, so that's why everything revolves around product. So anyway. So it is not uncommon for the head of the department to talk to me. It's like I talk to the head of the department often. That's, in the normal course of my job, I talk to the head of our department. That's, so it was not like red flags or an alarm bell, that he was calling me. So he's like, yeah, well, you have a new boss. Starting tomorrow, and we're going to move you out of PTO, and we're going to move you over to this EPMO, which is the enterprise PMO. I was like, oh, okay, well, cool. Does my boss know this? And he's like going, your boss is no longer with the company. So I'm just like, uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Got rid of your boss and needed to stick you somewhere. Is that?
It was a lot. My company is in a transitional phase, and there is what's the word I'm looking for? There's bureaucracy. There's office politics and stuff.
Yeah.
And my boss represented a process that they disliked. Mm. And new person coming in said, oh, we can replace that with new process. And
I see.
It became one of those things where the head of the department, or the head of the company was like, oh, well, I'm going to go with this guy. So let's just trim that. And, you know, so it was a very political, weird kind of thing. Anyway, regardless, it wasn't just him. There was other people. It was a
Does that affect then what you're working on?
Oh, now? Completely. 100%. Yeah. And this was like, now I'm working with now I'm dealing with cross-functional things that are outside of the technology department. So now I'm having to deal with finance and legal and stuff like that. And I like it. I mean, I'm happy doing it and everything, but it's writing internal applications and dealing with training and AI stuff, just like I've always done. So but I am kind of, I liked my old boss a lot. And so I had contacted him.
On LinkedIn?
No, I had his number. So it's like, I texted him and just to make sure that he was all right. And, he's like, oh yeah, I've known it's been a possibility for a couple of months. And I knew it was absolutely certainly going to happen for at least a week. Right. So he's like, he knew that this was coming. And, so I'm like, oh, okay, well, have you thought about doing a podcast? So, because we both follow AI stuff and from the enterprise standpoint.
Oh, you literally did ask him if he wanted to start a podcast with you?
I've been wanting to do like an AI podcast, but I want to do it can't be a soliloquy. And who am I going to talk to in my circle of friends about enterprise level AI?
Not me. I don't know.
So I feel like, So anyways, he was on a cruise this week. So
he hasn't answered you?
Oh no, I told him, I was like, yeah, just think about it. And he's like, well, I'm going on I'll be on a cruise next week. I'm like, yeah, just let me know. I mean, it's like, let me know if it's something you want to do.
Was that a coincidence or is that his I got fired cruise?
Oh, I don't know. He was going on. I don't know if he put in for the time off or whatever, but let me tell you, it was just such a weird thing that happened. It's like they,
'cause when I get fired, I'm going on a cruise.
Yeah. They like moved us around. And like for a couple of days I was listed as reporting to some dude in IT or whatever. And I'm getting like a message for him going like, oh, I see that you now report to me. And, I need to get, set up a meeting with you to, establish what we're talking, what you're doing and to get a handle on blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no. Just like, no.
So managers at your company just look at some screen and they go, oh, now yeah. I manage Bob.
Well, no, they got a report in ADP. It's just like when they moved us around in ADP, it's like they moved me to this guy's department. They're like, hey, you have a new employee. It's, that's all he gets is like, he sees that it's a new employee. And he's like,
yeah, but one would imagine that if you get a new employee, mm-hmm. that someone has told you.
Oh, I know.
Ahead of
time. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. This is why it's so weird. And it's just like, I'm getting these people and he had asked somebody else. He's like, what is this? And then they were like, oh yeah, that was Matt's old department. And they're dispersing them around. But anyway, it was just one of those really weird things. My new boss is super nice, super nice guy. He talks in business talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're going to have to circle back.
Yeah. Like, didn't I do this on this show? Didn't I read something that he had said that was,
oh, I don't know,
that but said nothing.
Yeah. We need to sync.
We, but the weird thing is that he's not like that in our smaller meetings and stuff like that. He talks about that. He talks like that really heavily when he's in larger meetings. And I'm like, this must be like a defensive mechanism. You know what I'm saying? Like he code switches into because when I'm having one-on-one meetings with him and talking about specific things, he's not talking that way. And
well, with your direct reports, you want to try to build some sort of rapport.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a larger meeting where you are trying to impress the right people or, you know, whatever the case may be, then maybe you want to sound a little more businessy.
Yeah. But well, I'm one step from CEO, right? It's like I report to him, he reports to CEO. So it's like I'm pretty much at the enterprise level. So, which, you know, I mean, I'm 58.
Look at you.
I'm 58.
Next stop,
I'm 58.
Next stop,
I have no
CEO.
Nope. I am 58. I have no designs on doing any of this stuff. Let me tell you, Adam, you're going to have to worry about this. No, you probably won't. You probably just have someone do it for you or you already are an expert in it or whatever, or some fucking thing like that. But trying to figure out retirement stuff.
Oh, I have no idea.
Is such a pain.
I wish I could retire.
In the ass. You can. That's the thing. You could retire.
No, I can't. I mean, you can't start getting Social Security until you're like, what, 80?
Yeah, but you have enough. And, how old are you?
47.
47.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to take Social Security or whatever, but you would be able to, you know, take your own money, your own savings and everything, and pay yourself. You've got enough in savings to live for several years.
ChatGPT thinks I can live 30 years.
There you go.
On the amount of money I've got.
There you go.
But then what happens when you start getting Social Security? Because if you haven't had a job for 30 years, what do they base your Social Security on?
So here, all right, this is, all right, I know this because I have been going through this. Here, let me elucidate you.
I was thinking, because I thought at one point, you know, I hate my job. Uh-huh. I could go work at McDonald's.
Yes.
You know, and just make 20 bucks an hour, 11 bucks, I don't know, what do people make? But $11 an hour, $20 an hour, whatever it is.
Whatever you peasants make.
But
he doesn't know.
And that would be enough for me to pay the bills, you know, put in my half of the bills.
Yep.
And then if we wanted to take a vacation or whatever at some point, I have enough savings that I could, you know, we could take a vacation here or there. And, you know, but then I thought, but what will that do to my Social Security? It'll be like 20, I'll only get 20 bucks an hour.
No. So here's the way that your Social Security is calculated. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list because there's a lot of things that I'm just going to gloss over for the sake of people not shooting themselves in the head. Your Social Security benefit is going to be based off of a calculation derived from your highest 35 years of income. So if you have been paying into the Social Security system for 30 or 30 plus years, you know, then you have it. But it will be the top 35 years of your earnings. The further back those earnings go, there is a multiplication factor for inflation. So in my case, back in 1986, the year after I graduated high school, I made $8,187 that year. But through the magic of the inflationary thing, that actually comes out to $32,514 is how it's calculated as to what I earn.
I was going to say, at this point, they would have to go back to my lawn mowing job in high school. Yeah, like I could, there's
All right. And zeros obviously bring down your balance. But that doesn't necessarily matter because even after you start to take Social Security, you can then take a part-time job or something like that, and those earnings will count towards your Social Security. So your Social Security payment will actually go up by even just having a part-time job because that's more than a zero. But the real trick to Social Security is you are eligible to take your Social Security. By the way, I know I glossed over a whole bunch of things. Please don't come for me on that. However, the biggest factor is that you are eligible to take Social Security at age 62. Okay?
Okay.
But if you take Social Security at age 62, you are only going to get a fraction of the whatever your calculated payment would be. So if your calculated payment was going to be that you were going to get $5,000 a month, you would actually only get like 70% of that.
And is that forever? Or once you hit the age that you would have, does it now then bump up to 100?
When you first take it out, that is forever, it will be at that percentage. Now, the number can go up. Like I said, if you have a part-time job or something that pays more than something that you made mowing lawns or whatever, it would. So the number can go up by you still being employed, but the percentage of what you're going to get will always be capped at this. However, you're going to get that amount for more years than you would. So at 62, you get about 70%. At 63, you get 75%. At 64, you get 80%. And at 65, you get, 85%. At my full retirement age is 67. So at 67, I would get 100%. And if I delay...
Didn't Fatty retire when he was like 60 or something?
Yeah. You can do that too. You can start using your 401k money with no penalties when you hit 59 and a half. Technically, you can use your 401k money with no penalties if you are at least 55 and you become unemployed. You don't have to be fired even if you quit. If you quit or are fired after you're 55, you're free to take money from your 401k with no penalty. So there's no 10%. It just is taxable income.
So Scotty, which is more interesting? The talk of AI or the talk of the American Social Security system?
I don't think Scotty listens to Level 13.
Probably not.
Anyway, so this is the whole thing, the retirement thing is so fucked up because it's like, okay, well, I can only count on, shit for my Social Security, like my adjusted amount per month that I could theoretically maximum that I could get is $8,340 a month. But
wow,
hold on, because of their whole calculations, you only get 100% of the first 25,000 and then you get a much lower percent of dollars after that. It actually comes out to that $8,340.48 actually means that what I would get would be $3,380 a month.
Oh.
So my Social Security at this point will only pay me $3,380. Now, in that calculation, I have a zero. Like, there were a lot of years that I had no income. So it's like in my right now, I only have 35 years that actually have income in it. And my 35th year is only $492. However, once I get, once the new year starts, that zero will clear out. And then my lowest will be 490. And then next year. So I've got some serious upgrading.
Catching up to do.
No, I'm just saying at this point, the numbers that I'm knocking off are all below $10,000 a year.
I've only made good money.
Well, there you go.
For maybe the past 5 years.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, there were a lot of years where I was making a lot less.
Yeah.
And then if I stopped and went to Subway or McDonald's or something, I'd be making like Social Security would be giving me like $500 a month.
Fortunately, you can go to the Social Security website and there's calculators there that'll show you your numbers. But it is so fucking confusing to try to figure it out manually. And I went through this exercise because
you're at that age where you're like, wonder when I could retire.
Yeah, actually I am. And it's like, so my thought is, you know, all right, so I need to plan probably for 90 because both of my parents lived into their mid 80s, right? So it, you know, and both my grandparents lived to almost 90 my mom lived to 90. Her parents lived to like 92, and my dad lived to 85. So, and his mom lived to like 80. Excuse me, I puked a little burp there. I burped. My point is that if you take the average lifespan of 78 for a white male, I get to add 8 years. For every parent that lives above 80. So I get to add 16 years to that. And then I get to add a little bit more for my grandparents. But my point is, it's a safe bet to say, okay, it's not unreasonable that I could live to 90.
Okay.
If I wanted to, let's say, have at least $100,000 a year in income, then you have to figure out, well, like, what is that a month, right? You know, what is $100,000 a year? What is that a month? It's what, like, just calculate.
9,000 something or depends on if you're taking out taxes.
100? No. I mean, just, you know, 1,000.
Well, I guess you don't get taxed on.
You do get taxed on. Depending on where you bring it from. So $8,333 a month. So you would need $8,333 a month. Now you're going to get $3,000 or so from Social Security or 35. Let's just say that I replace a bunch of these lower numbers and I'm going to get $4,000 a month from. Yeah. So now I've got to come up with another $4,800 a month. Well, obviously I have a 401k that I've had for a long time and it's got money. So then you have to figure out, I was like, okay, well, how much of that would I need to draw each year to make up that? And the way that it works is that when you put money into your 401k, you do so pre-tax. So you're not paying tax on the money that you put into your 401k. It's not considered income, right? It comes off of your total income.
Yeah.
But when you take it out of the 401k, it is income. So you can't just on day one of retirement take all of your money out of your 401k because then you'll be paying income tax on the amount because it's considered income.
I thought once you hit a certain age, you didn't get taxed on it or something.
Nope.
It's always taxed as income.
It is always taxed as income. Now, the exception there is a Roth IRA because you pay tax on the money at the time of.
I don't qualify to do a Roth.
Anyone can do a Roth.
There was some reason I couldn't do it.
Okay. But the point there is that you're paying the tax. So when you take money out of a Roth, it's not taxable. It's still income, but you're not, it's a weird thing. So it's depending, but there's limits to how much you can put in a Roth. You can't just put all your money in a Roth IRA. Like there's strict limits on how much money you can have in them. It's quite the little calculation because I'm sitting here going like, all right, I really probably want to just go to 67. So that'd be like 9 more years. So 9 more years, I could probably survive working for the next 9 years. And even if I don't, even if I get, you know, make it to 62, right? Only get like halfway there or whatever. I could at that point in time go get a part-time job at Disney doing anything, and it would definitely be more than, you know, this $2,000 a year or $8,000 a year that are still in my calculations, right? So it's like getting a part-time job would help when I eventually did take Social Security. And since I, at that point in time, as long as I'm past 59 and a half, I can withdraw money from my 401k with no penalties, right? So I could use my 401k just as income. And then I would have to, you know, figure out something
else. Oh, well, I just told on myself, Lamont. Yeah, I don't qualify. I don't qualify. Can't do it.
You make too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. So,
I can't.
Yeah.
Cause I looked at it as another, cause I've already maxed out how much I can put in the, my 401k every year. Like I can't put anything more there. So I was like, can I do a Roth? And I couldn't.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of just having to do all these calculations and stuff and try to figure it out. And it's like, it's just annoying, right? Because it's like, wait, this will be my life.
I don't
life.
Know what deferred income is.
Deferred income means that you can defer a portion of your income to the following year's tax burden. So you could, it's a way that if you make, it's not. Okay, we're talking about something else then.
I don't know if I have, and by the way, I just barely make,
that is a recorded admission of me admitting that I was wrong on something. Let's just go on the record there.
Yeah. Let's snip that.
Nip that in the old bud there.
We need to snip that and send it to Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
Send that little
I'm not engaging with Batance anymore until he addresses the brutal truth. That
he was wrong?
He was owned. He was owned badly. He was owned very badly. Have you heard of Huck Finn?
I've heard of Huck Finn.
No. H-U-X-E. Have you heard of Huck Finn?
No.
So it's made by the team that made Notebook LM. They left Google and went out to form their own company. And it's called Huck. It's an app. There's no web version of it at the moment. It's iOS or Android, doesn't matter. You can give it access to your email and your calendar, and you can guide it along into the topics that you're interested in.
Okay.
And it overnight pulls together a little audio show for you. That you could play anytime, but I'll give you here's mine for today. First, you'll get some jazz music,
and it does it every day.
Yeah, actually, you can just come to the app at any point, and it'll bring up new stuff. But here it's midnight now. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel. Right at the start of Saturday here, it's mostly cloudy in Claremont tonight, with temps still hovering in the low 70s.
Feels like you just checked in yesterday afternoon. So let's keep it tight and timely.
Later on, we'll dip into some tech industry drama and updates on AI, plus a couple of big shifts in the music world.
Inbox is up first, then we'll loop into news. Ready? Let's dive straight into your email. All right, moving on to your inbox. You've got a pretty light set of emails today, mostly routine updates, but one booking confirmation that may need a quick glance. Your most important email is from Anthony Ferrer Barbershop. They've confirmed your haircut appointment for this Saturday, October 11th at 11 a.m. with Mina at their Citrus Tower Boulevard location.
Your penicillin is ready.
If you need to cancel, there's a $14 fee unless you do it before 11 a.m. on Friday. You can use the Booksy app to manage that booking if needed.
Oh, gee, thanks.
The rest of your inbox at djbrew67@gmail.com consists of a delivery confirmation from Walmart, your monthly website stats, a notice from Substack, and several newsletters like The Bulwark, plus a range of promotional emails and a community digest from school.
All right, tucked in your inbox today is a pretty thought-provoking newsletter from The Bulwark, JVL diving into this idea of late-stage democracy. We'll breeze through it before we wrap up your inbox segment.
This one unpacks what happens when a democracy stops responding to reality, or when the system...
So it'll go through your newsletters and summarize them for you. It will. So if you have any email newsletters that you never read,
You know what? You know what would have helped me with the other day?
What?
Because you said you give it access to your calendar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, Mark, bless his heart, I had just lost my passport. We had just gotten back in town.
Yeah.
My hair place calls and says, Tabitha is going to be out. So we're going to need to put you with Patricia or somebody. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, hey, boyfie, I've got a haircut this weekend.
Yeah.
We drive to all the way to St. Louis. I walk into my haircut and they're like, your appointment is next Saturday.
like tomorrow?
Yeah, like tomorrow.
Or today.
And Mark was standing there and I've just, you know, he lost a day's salary because of me. Because he was out of PTO and his manager has a stick up her ass and will not, like, and so he had to take an unpaid day because of me. And then we drive all the way to St. Louis and they're like, your appointment's not today. But luckily, they had one stylist that had one slot.
There you go.
So I was able to get. Nice. I was able to get it done.
Nice. Anyway, HUXE is the app. It's free right now. You can use it for free.
Is this segment sponsored by?
No, it's free. Why would it be sponsored by that? I mean, I'm a huge fan of Notebook LM. Let me tell you, this new Critical Role campaign 4. Since Notebook LM is a Google product, you can give a YouTube video link as a source. Like you can just give it a YouTube video as a source.
Yeah.
And it pulls the transcript and does other things. Because Critical Role is all highfalutin, their transcripts are like primo. Like their transcripts have the thing spelled correctly and the elven name spelled correctly. And like, you know, it's like, it's not auto-generated.
So they pay like a human.
Yeah. They pay a human to do their transcripts and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that's what's on their YouTube video. So on Mondays when the YouTube video is released, I just add that as a source to my Notebook LM. And now I can ask questions. Like they'll say something in an episode and it'll be some, you know, they'll mention some NPC that I don't remember. And I'm like, who is this person? And Notebook LM's go, oh, this person you met, you know, was in this last episode and he did this and this. And it's like, and you can ask it questions about, you know, theories that you might have. And it's like, would it be possible for this person and this person to have done this? And, you know, it's like, well, you know, according to, but this one was, did report that he was, so it's like, it's just so cool that it's like, I can literally have like a living message board, right? You know, a living, you know, respectful message board of fans that you would normally ask these questions.
We need to clip this segment out and post it as a show just so that Scotty gets to hear an AI segment or like move this into the, you know, like as a segment.
Yeah.
This segment brought to you by Scotty, little Aussie Battler. The only thing is, I wish that these voices would get more natural. And I don't mean the voices. I mean, the conversation doesn't sound natural.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Notebook LM is pretty good. I'll give you an example.
Because for a podcast, I really want it to sound really off the cuff.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
whatever.
So, as you remember, we had a whole itinerary planned for Charleston.
Yes. Well, and I remember that you said you and Fatty had.
Yeah. And as part of that, I had generated numerous podcasts about the areas that we were going to visit that we could listen to on the drive up. And they're all posted over on my website, danieljbrewer.com. You can listen to them yourself if you want. There's an RSS feed there. But, this is what I do with all my little research papers there. But anyway, here, I mean, this is Notebook LM. And I feel like this is, you know, I can listen to this and I find it less jarring than the one we just listened to. Like Hux sounds very jarring, but Hux is also very useful. if it was something entertainment wise, I wouldn't put up with Hux as much as it just reading me news. But like, here's an example of Notebook
okay,
LM.
Let's unpack this. Imagine a city just glistening with immense wealth, you know, adorned with elegant architecture and these refined social graces. Yet beneath that polished exterior lay a terrifying truth, a secret so profound it really defined every single aspect of its existence. We're talking about Charleston, South Carolina, back in the early 1820s, a place quite literally built on the forced labor of a black majority, yet ruled by this powerful white minority.
Wait, hold on.
The air itself must have been thick with tension, a city just on the precipice of shattering. Today, we're taking a deep dive into one of the most ambitious and ultimately chilling slave conspiracies in American history, the Denmark Vesey plot of 1822. Our mission is to understand the man himself, Denmark Vesey, the meticulously planned revolution he orchestrated, its catastrophic unraveling, and maybe most importantly, the seismic impact it had. This wasn't just some local incident. It reverberated throughout the entire South, reshaping the national narrative around slavery and, you could argue, really setting the stage for the Civil War.
Exactly. This wasn't just an isolated incident of discontent, you know, something easily dismissed as mere unrest. No, it was a direct, organized, and remarkably sophisticated challenge.
Yeah, so they talk back and forth. It's not just one voice.
It's not bad, but I tell you what it is. It sounds like they're reading a teleprompter.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. But you know what? On a documentary type thing where it's just, because I do this with research papers and I find that style to be soothing because NPR reads scripts. Like, yeah. It's like, you know, news.
It just,
yeah.
It's like when you tell me, it sounds like you're reading that, Adam.
Yeah,
Don't sound like you're reading it.
Right.
They sound like they're reading it, which is weird because they're not really reading it.
No, they're not.
I mean, there's not something that they're reading. But it sounds like they're reading something.
Now, Microsoft came out with a couple of...
Are you generating these images with AI for your blog?
Yeah. Why? I mean, yeah, of course I am.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Oh, that MIT generative AI study was really cool. I think I went all the way back to, no, I didn't. You know what? I should put my technology.
You're back at your hotel. Gary's in a hotel.
Gary is being Baptist this week. He's at some convention or what do they call them? What do the Baptists call conventions? They're orgies? What are they?
Is it
an orgy?
No, it's just
revival. It's just revival. I knew it was one of those. It was either
no, but a revival is not a revival. Is just you don't need a hotel
if you go out of town.
Is just, well, a revival is usually
maybe it's a retreat. Oh, it's an association annual meeting.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say because a revival usually. Yeah. An evangelist comes to your church.
Yeah.
And so it happens at your church or, you know, you might go to a church across town.
I remember
usually
I have this vivid memory and this was during my religious phase. So I must've been 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there. In my religious phase, we have this special guest coming to our church. She's a traveling evangelist, but she's coming to our church to do her one woman show about John Wesley.
Okay.
Cause we are the Methodist church and, you know, John Wesley founded the Methodist church. So,
that is such a parallel of a story of a friend of a guy that I know who is gay.
Yeah.
And he had a one man show on the life of Paul. And he would go around all these churches. Anyway, it's like a parallel. Yours was a girl who did the life of Winston Churchill. Mine was a guy who. Anyway, go ahead.
Hold on. I need a prop.
You need a prop?
I need a prop. One moment. So I was very excited about this because, as I said, I, you know, was in my deeply religious phase here, and this is very exciting. This is very exciting that, you know, a female evangelist
was she a lesbian?
Is coming. It must have been. Anyway, the day arrives, Adam, the day arrives, and, you know, normal church type things happen. And then of course it comes time for the sermon. This person of course is introduced and she begins to do her soliloquy, Adam, you know, "Oh, the road ever winding, that steady clip, clip, clip of the hooves upon the damp soil, so many miles, so many faces, each a window into the soul glimpsed, then gone. The fire within, a spark caught from a mother's hand, then fanned fiercely, relentlessly across a weary land. The word spoken from a tower of stone on a hillside green or a patch of common ground where all could stand and hear. The books, oh, the books, a world contained in leather and ink poured over under the flicker." I was laughing so fucking hard. In my seat, and I was trying everything I could to not.
Are those the voices you use when you're playing D&D, and you're one of your characters?
No, I have never.
How you sound when you're?
I have never played that.
Oh,
yeah, no, I've never played that stereotypic. And famously, there's none of my. I have never used a fake English accent with any of my characters. Like, my characters have always spoken with an English, you know, an American English accent. I don't try to do the, because everyone in D&D feels like they have to be British, right? It's just like, it's, you know. So, I, no, that was more just, you know, over the top kind of a thing. But she talked like that for a fucking like 40 minutes straight, didn't say all it was just John Wesley. Oh, John Wesley, John Wesley. It was just, it was very.
Was there any acting? I mean, was it just a speech?
It was a speech. You know, she was.
Were there props? Was there a, you know,
no, there was no props. There was just, you know, it was one, it was a soliloquy. Like she would, you know, when she would, "I have a memory. A memory of me as a child in a field with young John Wesley. Oh, John, don't be silly. Leave the flowers where they are. You're going to disturb them. What? How dare you talk to me like that? I'll have you know, John Wesley, that I am a very bright and proper young lady." It was that kind of, you know what I'm saying? That kind of artsy. It was very artsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very artsy. Now I want to do a one-woman play about John Wesley.
I don't remember why, how we got to that. Oh, because I was talking about... Because
Gary was at a revival.
Oh. I was thinking the AI voices sounded like they were reading a...
No, we had passed by that. We were talking about Gary. Gary is out of town. Gary is at a hotel. Are you on Grindr?
Gary? That's the first time he's been out of his Rainbow Vista. Yeah,
I know. Are you on Grindr? I hope you're on Grindr tonight.
Gary doesn't have sex, does he?
I don't know. Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
At what age do you think people stop having sex?
I don't mean age. Gary just doesn't strike me as
what?
The sex heaven type.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's a sex addict. I feel like I'm 58 and I still like masturbate every day. So I think everyone is that way. I think it, just because you're
Gary is typing.
He's typing. Well, he's probably just typing with one hand. Oh, big fatty. Yeah, you know, you missed I had the option to, he doesn't look for others. Okay. I had the option of just keeping, you know, just going ahead and going to Charleston, right? And it's like, I paid for the hotel anyway, right? So it's like, I could have gone. But it was like, then I also have to pay the person to cat sit because Zach was out of town.
Well, and it's that long drive by yourself.
Yeah, it was a really long drive by myself, and, you know.
I'm very entertaining.
So it's like, I basically just sat at home for like 6 days. It's like,
why didn't you just work?
I just didn't.
I was just at home.
Yeah.
Being sick.
Yeah.
So.
I called you. I communicated with you.
You did. And I want to tell the chat room, he was so sweet. He offered to fly.
I offered to, if there had been a flight out of here.
And go to the doctor with me.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. I don't think Joe offered to fly here.
Fuck no. We've exposed Joe Batanz for the fraud.
He might have offered to, you know, to Instacart me some chicken noodle soup or something.
I just want to hear his response, and I fear I'll never get that, because I fear like too much time has passed.
Do you think I need to clip it out and play it?
You should. I mean, it was very,
and it was on the show.
Yeah. Well, do you not literally spent like 20 minutes dissecting the chain of lies and the proof against them.
I vaguely remember something like that, but I...
Because he said, oh, well, Daniel just says these things, but he doesn't play clips. And it was just like, but they're your shows. I'm talking about clips from your shows. Pull your own fucking clips. But then I did. I did pull the clips, and I played the clips. And they were the things that I had said that they had said.
Right.
I am on Grindr to see if my gay pastor, who's next door, is on Grindr. You're just using Grindr to spy on people. That's just wrong.
What you have to do,
yeah,
is you have to block anyone that you know. That way they don't know if you're on, you know, those things. Yeah. Now that first time they may see you, if you're not quick enough, you have to be really quick.
Right.
And be like, oh shit. Block, block, you know, like, and then they don't see you. You can now on Grindr, can't you go in incognito
if you pay
or whatever?
Yeah, if you have a paid account.
Yeah,
they want like stupid money too. It's like one of those things, like occasionally you're tempted to like pay it to see see somebody's photo album or something like that, but you're just like, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, like, yeah, all right. Cause they have now like day passes where you can just do it for a day or something. And I'm like, you know what? If it's $1.99, I'll do that. If it's $1.99 or whatever. And you do it and it's like $6.99 for the day. And I'm just like, I don't want to see the album $7 worth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to see the pictures $7 worth. I'm more like $2. I'm more like, let me see them for $2.
Yeah. So anything else happen? You got syphilis.
I mean, well, I got syphilis back in early part of the year, but I'm finally being treated for syphilis now. So that's good. And the fact that it was also, remember I told you the penicillin was like $1,700 without insurance.
Yeah.
It's like when I went and picked up my doxy, my 52 pills of doxy, they were like, yeah, it'll be $13.
It's hard to believe the OG.
Yeah. Well, there's a shortage. There's actually a shortage, right, of penicillin.
And it's just comes from mold. Or whatever.
Not really. But there is a shortage of penicillin. And that is why the more places are using the doxy treatment.
When I went to the place, because Maddie had been, you know, diagnosed with syphilis, it was like Elmer's glue, and there were two syringes
Yeah, I know. I believe you.
It was like one in each butt cheek.
Yeah, I believe you because you've told this story before. I believe
you. And it felt like, well, it looked.
Can we get some assistance? Hold on. Who are we going to use? Let's go to.
Oh, I know you don't use Alexa, but we have Alexa Plus now.
Ugh. Just, ugh. All right. I think we're going to use this. Let's go. Hey, let's go. Hey, I feel what? Check your microphone. Your audio couldn't be heard. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Somebody else. Is there another AI anywhere?
That means you've just got it routed some weird
way.
No,
I know. Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Excellent. We're having a conversation about penicillin, and my friend seems to think that penicillin is naturally very thick. And I know that I had an infusion treatment with it, and it wasn't thick. So is penicillin like thick, like Elmer's glue, or is it just very thin like water?
Penicillin typically isn't thick like Elmer's glue. It's more fluid, closer to the consistency of water. Your friend's confusion might come from the fact that some thicker substances are used in medical treatments, but penicillin itself, especially in infusion form, is not one of them. So you're right on that one.
I swear that they injected this thick Elmer's glue penicillin in my butt cheek.
That was my friend talking.
Sounds like your friend had a memorable experience, but penicillin is usually more fluid, like water. Medical injections can be mixed with different substances, so maybe that's where the confusion comes from. But the penicillin itself isn't normally thick like glue.
So it was
just funnier.
It was just the type of thing.
That's
that
funnier.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was Copilot to the rescue.
It's more.
By the way. That was even free Copilot.
It could be the color. It could be the color of Elmer's glue. Because really, how did I know how thick it was? I think they told me it was thick.
Oh.
You
know what? After I had my car accident, they like put me in the CAT scan room, and they like put the IV in me, and they're like going like, okay, we're going to inject you with this radioactive dye, and it's going to, you know, some people report that they feel it radiating out from the injection site and getting a lot of tingling and everything, but that's what that is. So don't freak out. That's normal. You know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and we'll tell you before we do it. And so then I laid there, she left the room. I laid there. And then she came back in like 5 minutes later, and I'm just like, is there a problem? And she's like, oh, we're done. I'm like, you said you were going to tell me before you injected the dye. She's like, oh, no, we already injected the dye. It's like, so I was just waiting for them to tell me that they were going to do it.
Well,
yeah.
They weren't doing that with me. They were trying to scare me. Uh-huh. Oh, and Gary says, was it the health department in Dallas on Harry? It was some clinic that the gay people went to. That's all I know.
Oh yeah. The healthcare place that I'm going to, I found in it's Orlando Pride is next weekend, and it was in the Pride guide. It was like this pineapple healthcare. And I was just like, you know what? It's like, cause I was trying to get in. Zach got into the gay doctor. And it's like, I've been trying to get into their.
Is there like one gay doctor in your
no,
area?
No, but it's the gay doctor that the A gays use, you know. Oh. And anyway, but no, these pineapple people seem really nice. So I'm actually going into an in-person appointment on Monday.
Oh. Look at you and your doctor visits.
You know what? I am just so annoyed that this could have been treated easily and cheaply 6 months ago if Barbie Big Boob doctor had, you know, done a couple of continuing education classes or something. I say that, but then you are absolutely right. My sister-in-law also did not bring it up. And my brother, who's a PharmD, didn't bring it up. And in both cases,
did you call them and say, hey,
yes, Yeah, no, I taught them and asked them questions about, like, all right, what do I do? It's like they're telling me that, you know, they don't have this and, you know, the syringe. The other place is telling me that it's, you know, the insurance turned it down. And they're like, oh, you have to call your insurance company. And I'm like, you know what? It's because she sent in two prescriptions a day apart from each other. So they probably just turned it down because it was a duplicate prescription from the one at CVS. And, you know, it's like, so I didn't even, plus I don't want to fucking call my insurance company and everything. It's like, why do I pay for these things? Aren't other people supposed to deal with these things? It's like, so.
Isn't, hey, will Notebook LM do it?
Yeah. And I should have had that, but it was like, it was so annoying. And I was just, I was lulled into inaction just by the annoyance of it. You know, like every time I thought about it, I was just annoyed by it. And so I just didn't want to think about it. You know what I'm saying? So, and syphilis is one of those things. It's like, as by the fact that I had it for many years to the point that it was affecting my optic nerve, meant that I had to have had it for, you know, at least 3 years. And, you know, I didn't feel it. Like there's no, you know, you have an initial rash or not. That's optional. You don't have to have had an initial rash, but outside of that initial rash, there's no discomfort.
Don't you go crazy?
You can eventually, because it will go to your spinal cord and like, then to your brainstem. And, it was on my fucking optic nerve.
I think Mozart had syphilis.
It was, Hitler, I believe. But it could, a lot of people had syphilis back then. Let's find out. Hey, we're trying to figure out who might have died of syphilis. We know that Adolf Hitler did, but did Mozart also die of syphilis?
No, Mozart didn't die of syphilis. The exact cause of Mozart's death in 1791 remains uncertain, with various hypotheses ranging from rheumatic fever to kidney disease, but syphilis isn't among the widely accepted theories. Hitler, on the other hand, is also not confirmed to have died of syphilis.
Oh, really?
Yep. Mozart's cause of death is still debated, but syphilis isn't a top contender. And Hitler's demise is tied to his suicide, not syphilis.
Interesting, because Gemini says that syphilis has been proposed as a possible cause.
Well, a possible cause, but not a certain cause, I think is what Copilot was saying.
That's right. Syphilis has been proposed as a possible cause of Mozart's death, but it's not a certainty. Various theories exist, but none have been definitively proven. It's one of those historical mysteries that keeps scholars debating. Quite a fascinating topic, really.
But in the movie Amadeus...
I've already muted him.
Doesn't he go, well, I can be talking to you.
Oh, I didn't know. I just wanted to make sure.
In the movie Amadeus, doesn't he go crazy? And they say he goes crazy
proposed,
because of syphilis?
Yeah, so it's dramatic license. It's a proposed thing. Oh. But... that really, I can't express how much it pissed me off, especially now that they still have this $100 bill that they're wanting me to pay.
I live? Any doctor I go to is going to be a homophobe here in Arkansas.
But like here's the beauty of it. Here's the beauty of it. If I had known that Doxy was, you know, I could use Doxy as a cure, I just would have done a telemedicine call and said, like, yeah, I tested positive on syphilis. And they just went exactly like what they just had me do. I paid a $10 copay. I had a telemedicine call and they wrote me a prescription for doxycycline for 28 days. It's like, I could have like just handled it from the house immediately. Did a bada boom, bada boom. Right. It's just like done. And instead, you know, I had to go through that awkward fucking interaction with the doctor. She was clearly uncomfortable talking about it. She didn't know what the treatments were. She didn't. And it's like, and it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, this is clearly, you know, I don't want to make people uncomfortable. I grew up in a house full of doctors, so I'm not someone who pulls.
Well, a doctor shouldn't be uncomfortable.
Right. And when I talk to a doctor, I don't like, I tell it like it is, you know what I'm saying? I don't mince words. I say exactly everything that I think they need to know. And, you know, some of them are just not comfortable with that, but it's just,
Well, I mean, if you go into detail, well, I was on all fours.
No.
There was a sling involved.
No.
And there might have been, you know, they may not want to know all that.
No, but it's just like, they're like, well, do you know, like, when it would have happened? And I'm just like, I go to a lot of parties. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've had a lot of sex with a lot of people, so I...
Can you give me a date range?
Yeah, I don't. Like, what? I don't know.
When are we talking? And I had a busy spring.
Yeah.
So it was...
like, what are those? I tell you what campsite they were in, but I don't think that's going to help with anything. So anyway, the point is that, so like Zach's doctor just automatically prescribed him just recurring doxy and prep prescriptions. And they just show up every month. Like it's just that's delivered.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
there you go.
I told you how much I love my car.
You mentioned it earlier today.
It's one of those things, like, you know how, like, when you first drive a car that really just feels good, you kind of get a little giddy feeling. He's like, oh, I really like how this feels. Like, this is a really responsive. Like the very first time that happened to me was there was some guy I was dating who owned a Honda Prelude. And
that gave you a giddy feeling?
Yeah. When I drove the Honda Prelude, it was like a little tiny, so it drove really smoothly. It was a nice, it had a lot of pep. It was, you know, it was a very nice car. And I really loved how that car made me feel. Like I smiled when I drove. It's like, this car gives me that. Like every time I drive this car, I just, you know, as I get pushed back into the seat, because
you go,
yeah, I do. I just feel good.
Or like click your heels together. Or
yeah. I say, yeah. I feel good. I'm excited to get into the car and drive somewhere. Like it's, you know,
Does it say hello, Daniel?
Doesn't.
Oh,
cause it's not alive. It's just a car. But the nice thing about it is, I don't know. It's just like, as you just gently push your foot forward, like you're getting pushed back into your seat. It's like, it's the torque on it is just so immediate. And it's just like, you know, from a stoplight, you just go and there's, you know, they're 6 miles behind you.
I'm a grandma driver and I don't really get into how a car drives or how fast or what the torque.
It's not that. It's not so much. It's the closest thing to feeling like you're running, right? Because when you run, you exert effort and you immediately experience the outcome of that, right? So if you run faster, you expend more energy, you run faster, you immediately feel more wind in your hair. You feel more, you know, you feel more. When you're driving a vehicle or when you're playing a game, there's a certain amount of lag between what you do and the response. And it doesn't have to be much lag, but your body, your brain interprets it as being fake, right? Your brain knows that this isn't real, right? So as you're playing a video game and you're twirling all around and everything, you don't get motion sick because your brain knows that that's not real, even though it's hyper realistic looking. And that's, you know, it's like, but that's, your brain knows, oh, this is enough wrong that I register that it's not real. You don't, like, I feel like, you don't have that with that. Like it's so immediate that you don't perceive the lag. So it's just, it's more like running. It's more like I just barely push my foot and I'm immediately, you know, it's like, I'm just willing myself to go where I want to go. And it doesn't have to be fast. It's just, it just feels like an extension of your body because it is so responsive.
I don't guess I've ever had that particular feeling.
Test drive and watch your car.
Yeah. All of my cars were chosen for what they look like.
Yeah.
And not really. And even, you know, the current car that I have is a fairly fast car.
Mm-hmm.
And these high school kids will ask me about it. I'm like, I don't know. Like, oh man, dude, you know, that'll go. I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's sexy.
I think she's cool looking.
What does she look like?
I'm putting her in the Discord server she? Right now. Yeah, Eve.
There. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw.
She's pretty.
She is a... Would you call that an SUV? Or
if they classify it as a crossover, it's just a little bit smaller than the Blazer.
There is a back seat.
Yeah, yeah, and a cargo area, a hatchback, you know, cargo area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a back seat.
She looks like she talks, and the red stripe across the front reminds me of Kit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was definitely part of their thing. Like as you walk towards the car, like when you get in proximity, the taillights
do the flash.
Yeah,
thing?
The taillights do like a little, like they like go towards the center, like one by, you know, they like do a little dance. And also, I don't know if you can see on this image here that the door handles are normally flush to the door, but as you get close to the car, they pop out so that you can open, so that you can use them as handles to open the door. And then once you close the door, they retract back into the door. It's a fun little car. I love this little car.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
I mean, for someone who hates and procrastinates doing maintenance things. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like literally the only maintenance you have to do on this car is you are suggested to rotate the tires every 7,500 miles. So every 7,500 miles, you're supposed to rotate the tires. That's it. There's no oil change because there's no oil. There's no transmission flow because there's no transmission. There's coolant.
You just have to watch and make sure the battery doesn't puff.
No, it doesn't. It handles all that for you.
If it puffs up, then you need
it. It handles all that for you.
Take it in.
Yeah. Oh, this is what is that, a Buick? Or is that a Rolls?
Cars. Is that a Rolls Royce?
I don't know. You know what? We can.
By the way, ChatGPT sucks at Wordle. Just if anybody wants to know.
Hey, that red car that you see right there, what kind of car is that?
Oh, a Lincoln Nautilus.
What?
I can't identify the car from the image here. If you have more details or another angle, I might be able to help identify it.
Okay.
It's a Lincoln Nautilus. It's ours.
Oh, that's
they
nice.
Got it last month. Congrats.
Ooh, is it?
It looks like the handles on that are also flush.
Is it an EV? Is it an EV? You'd be very excited if it's an EV. Lincoln Nautical. Oh, it's a hybrid. Oh, it's a hybrid.
There's still 1 foot's in gasoline. It's a hybrid. 1 foot is in electric.
Yeah, like my full, like if I were to charge to full, which I never do, but if I were to charge to full, I have like a 350 something mile range. I normally only charge it to 80%, which gives me like a 258 mile range. And it supports fast charging. So on our trip to South Carolina, we would have needed to have stopped twice for a total of 30 minutes. So 15 minutes at each charger. So we would have only had to stay at each charger for 15 minutes to make the whole trip. So.
Cool. The thing I don't like about hybrids is aren't all hybrids, and maybe electric does this as well, but the engine goes off. No, hybrids don't have an engine. Well, it's different. I mean, electric doesn't have hybrids. The engine stops. When you stop, the engine goes off.
See, in an electric car, an electric car, there is no engine.
And then when you press the gas to go, the engine has to start back up. So it's like, brrr.
Now imagine, here's the difference. In an electric car, the engine's off, but you press the pedal and it immediately goes. Like it's not because there is no engine. It's like you press and goes, go and the pedal.
It makes it like a high-pitched noise. Or whatever.
They're actually quite quiet. You know, the noise that they make below 20 miles an hour is mandated by law. Like they have their speakers inside the car that make that noise. Like, and that noise only is made when you're like going under 20 miles an hour. It's like if you're driving through a residential area or something like that. Lamont Cranston has an ICE vehicle, a CRV, a Honda CRV.
Everybody's getting cars, but not me.
What color is that, Lamont? What's the, I mean, I know it's blue, but what's the marketing blue color? Like something mountain? It's blue balls blue.
Mystical mountain.
Blue balls blue. Smoky mountain.
It's
mountain goat. Yeah, could be mountain goat. All right. Well, you know, it is that time.
It's almost, the pumpkin is almost about to turn back into the carriage or vice versa.
I don't know what that means.
You know, when the clock strikes.
No, I know.
Midnight.
Yeah, I know.
The, you know, Disney.
I know. Yeah. I was being funny. Not funny, but I mean, just, you know, I was being a smartass. It's pumpkin time, princess. Anyway, thank you all for joining us here this evening.
You.
We do appreciate it. We'll be back next Friday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yep.
Anything else? You want to say anything else? You
good? Nope.
Good. Good night, chat room.
Good night.